You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Girls, ladies, and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your Uncle Silk,
Dan,
and Delatory.
Brethren, Monday night feels a little different. Stadium and Gale out the dark. Dan, how was your vacation?
A different time. Yeah, I feel like I need to pour a bottle of bourbon, but after the absolute abuse that happened this weekend in Mexico, pound for pound, with multiple bottles of Bacardi, I'm battered and bruised, but it's nothing that I can't bounce back from. So I feel like I trained my whole life for this.
It's when we watch like UFC fights and it's someone's first time in a championship fight and they get into the fourth or fifth round, they're like, ooh, how's he gonna handle the championship rounds? Dan, yeah. You have held the belt for a while. We've seen you in the championship rounds. No doubt.
You'll
bring the energy and the juice today.
I feel like this was a split decision, you know, at the end between me and me, some mojito, or me, some mint leaves, a little bit of Bacardi, some club soda, and every once in a while, a little strawberry puree in there, just pound for pound, just a battle that everybody got their money's worth. If this was a boxing match. So enough about my weekend. How was y'all's weekend? Then we'll get into a great show today.
Man, pretty solid, busy. I'm exhausted, my damn self, man. I'm not a late night guy these days, but 420, always celebratory on my end. So Rohan Marley, who's also, Bob Marley's son, but also a Kane, had a 420 event to announce his new marijuana line, Lion Order, him and Mike James. So I went and checked out a day party on Saturday for that. And then went to Amari Stoudemire's retirement dinner last night. It was good vibes out there. STK down on Collins.
Yeah.
So I got in at like 3 a.m, bro. I am exhausted.
What is what's the food like at STK?
Fire.
for you, what's the food like?
Oh yeah.
I ate sea bass, right? So it was it was fire. You couldn't go wrong with the menu.
What a wild order.
No, that's a perfect order, man. I appreciate
wild
playing sea bass is unbelievable.
I get that, but you're going to a restaurant called Steak.
It's called STK.
Steak.
Hey, bro. They got it on the menu, so that sea bass was fucking slapping, bro. I ain't even
just trying to get you to live righteous.
Yeah,
you could have gotten a tomahawk ribeye the size of your head there.
I could have too, man. It was on the house, bro. And this is not the world I'm in, bro. Everybody like the lamb chops was like the party favorite. Everybody was going crazy over the lamb chops, man. So it's a steakhouse, but the lamb chops go stupid too, as well. Apparently,
I love that.
I'm on the Amari Stoudemire's tab. We're getting that Wagyu, some Kobe beef.
Right.
How many ounces do you want more?
That was good. It was a good time, man. What'd you get into, Nick?
I had baseball Thursday, Friday. Missed baseball, the game that they won on Saturday. Got to celebrate.
Maybe that's what we need to do in the future, Nick.
Yeah. I've been to Omaha 3 times. They won a College World Series when I was the only one covering the team. It's definitely me.
Times change, you know?
Times have changed. I'll get my Tuesday nights back. I got to celebrate with my friends, Caleb and Adriana. I think I was kind of there when they started dating and was there when they tied the knot this weekend in Gainesville. So congratulations to them. We had Lauren and I had an awesome time. I think it was the first wedding that Lauren and I have gone to since getting married. And definitely the first one where she was trying to find a dress with a brand new baby bump. So
yeah,
we'll be 20 weeks, halfway point this week.
Yeah, moving kind of brisk, man. You nervous? You good?
I think it's still too far away for me to be nervous. I told her it's crazy because like, There will be entire days where I forget that like we're pregnant or we're expecting, but like she is growing a human. I cannot escape it. Can't get away from it.
I don't think she forgets.
No, she can't. She cannot. And come September, I don't think I will either. But no, not nervous yet.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Very, very happy for you. Very, very happy for Lauren. Let's get in to the show today. Let's talk a little basketball first. I know that we don't talk a ton of basketball on the show here, but I think obviously Todd, Portal God Todd, deserves his flowers. So I want to run through a quick timeline of things that have happened over the last few weeks here. So I know on this show we mentioned back at the end of March, about a month ago, that Riley Kugel is entering the transfer portal. He's announced that he's moving on. On April 3rd, the Gators hosted Chattanooga transfer Sam Alexis and Drexel transfer Amari Williams to Gainesville. About 10 days later, Chattanooga transfer Sam Alexis, who's one of the top-ranked forwards in the NCAA transfer portal, announced that he would be committing to University of Florida over Xavier, Mississippi State, Providence, and Georgia. Big get for the Gators. They were looking for, again, somebody else under the glass to be able to make an impact. A good season at Charlotte, or pardon me, at Chattanooga. 6'9", 260 pounds, ranked as the 29th overall player in the transfer portal, a number 6 power forward in the transfer portal. So again, a guy that just statistically averaged 10.8 points, 9.1 rebounds, 2.1 blocks per game for Chattanooga, and then was all defensive honors and third team all league. So again, a great get for the Florida Gators last week, or I guess about 9 days ago that happened. It was also announced yesterday that the Gators landed probably the guy that they most wanted out of the transfer portal, and that was when Elijah Martin officially announced that he was going to be joining the University of Florida. 6'2", averaged 11.9 points per game, 5 rebounds a game, and has 242 three-point field goals made in his career at FAU. He's an all-conference player each of the last three seasons, and he also helped elevate FAU to the Final Four two seasons ago. So an incredibly great shooter, another good guard for the Gators. The third player, and I kind of skipped over him when we were in between there, the Gators also got former Washington State center Ruben Chinalu, who picked the Gators over Mississippi State, also recruited by Gonzaga, UCLA, Kentucky, Georgia, Kansas State, and Memphis. 4.7 points, 5 rebounds, 14 points a game, is the all-time leading blocker in Washington State freshman history, 6'11", 245 pounds, the number 20 center and number 191 overall player in the transfer portal. Elijah Martin was I know I'm going on a long talking spiel, number 63 ranked player in the transfer portal, the number 8 guard. So with all that being said, gentlemen, huge, huge, huge couple weeks for Portal God Todd.
Todd been cooking. It's bad. That little baby is blaring in the locker room. I know it, bro.
I really like Martin. Watched a bunch of him. My dad teaches at FAU. Obviously watched a bunch of them when they made their run. I think he is instantly the best defender on Florida's basketball team. Has a clutch gene that he's shown. Bangs down shots late in games. I think he's athletic. And a guy who probably would have gotten the same, kind of feedback that Walter Clayton's going to get, needs to improve ball handling a little bit. But definitely a good get. And if you get Walter Clayton back, which I think they will, Walter Clayton gets a second ground grade, because like Walter Clayton will be roughly the same basketball player this time next year. There's not much he's going to show, I don't think, that will make NBA teams think, okay, yeah, this is now we'll use a first round on him. So I think he'll come back based on the feedback he'll get. And that's a tremendous 1-2 punch there.
Yeah. Elijah Martin averaged, sorry, just looking it up here. When they went on their run in 2023, averaged 16.5 points per game during the Conference USA tournament and NCAA tournament. Earned all tournament team honors and scored 30 points in FAU's first run game and then 26 points in that game against San Diego State that they ultimately lost to. But just an incredible guard. The Gators needed an additional shooter. They got one. I think that he's going to really help this team hopefully get over that hump. I know that they're still in the mix for maybe a couple of more transfers, and that's basketball now. Right. So you don't see a lot of teams building just through high school recruiting anymore. You're going, getting the best players out of mid-major programs. Ultimately, I think that the Gators, with the roster that they likely have coming back, and you mentioned Clayton, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Will Richard is also making or was open to the idea of going to the NBA draft during that timeline as well. He is going to declare, going to maintain his college eligibility, but I would imagine that he'll be back at the University of Florida.
And both of them, you could tell that there was conversation, that they were on the same page. Both of them, if you read their announcements, are almost worded identically with, it's a dream to play in the NBA. But if I do come back to college, it will be at, they stole a little line from Ohio State, the University of Florida. So both of them clearly on the same page. Like, hey, if we can get a draft grade, a one or a two, we're out of here. But if not, this is where we're coming back to. And Florida might get both of them back and continue to add in the portal. It's just kind of how it is with basketball. I was talking with somebody about the women's game and Gino Auriemma mentioned, that they should let women be one and done and go to the WNBA. And he said it's ruined the men's game. And now you've got one and done. Also, the transfer portal, you're not really getting like the 04s, getting to watch guys for 3 years and grow up and grow in a team, grow that way. You're kind of getting new teams every year. This is just how it is. And Todd Golden and his staff certainly have embraced the new normal in college basketball.
It does seem like overall, like basketball recruiting culture is like healthier than football recruiting culture.
Yeah.
I mean, you just kind of know what it is.
What was that?
I said they don't just do it for the clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk. Yeah. I want to talk that. I do want to talk that. Yeah. But, I just think like overall, like the high school, the games, the NIL games, the hat switching, it's just, it's a cleaner culture with basketball recruiting. You don't see all these crazy stories running off on signing day. Like, you just don't see that stuff.
No, and you usually see guys stick around for a long time. Obviously, there's people that will flip commitments, but it happens a lot less.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. What are your guys' thoughts on just that draft process as a whole? The idea that you could declare, hey, I'm interested in going. Do you think that could ever happen in football? Or do you think because football is so kind of combine focused and so much can happen because of that obviously you couldn't go to the combine and then see how you perform. So like logistically it might be different, but I love the idea of saying, hey, like I would love to see what my opportunity is out there. If it's not what I want, I know what I can go focus on and then I can still go back to school without losing my spot.
And I don't put it outside of the realm of possibility for the NFL. The NFL would have to create an underclassman showcase, that's before the combine. Because if you get to the point of the combine, I think now you're waiting in limbo and you're signing classes in football are much larger. And then they're adding the transfer portal in. I think you would have to, the NFL would have to take a stand there. And I don't know if they want any younger guys in. I think we're getting less and less underclassmen declaring for the NFL now that NIL is a thing.
Yeah.
I remember mentioning Ricky Pearsall last year. I was like, hey, Ricky Pearsall might be like a fifth round pick, and the guaranteed money for a fifth round pick is peanuts.
Yeah.
You might not even make the team as a fifth rounder. You got to really bet on yourself. And if you come back for your senior year at Florida, you are
peanuts. So
certainly making the team, but you can make nearly as much. You can make nearly as much. Right. Yeah. But you can make nearly as much. And you can make nearly as much in NIL for a guy with Ricky Pearsall's pedigree, his marketability. Week two or three, you make that ridiculous catch and you're selling t-shirts with a silhouette of you making that catch. Like, you can make as much money with a guaranteed roster spot as you can of being, you know, drafted to Buffalo and having to go live in Canada.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where we're at basketball wise. Again, I know Florida is still going to host some players. We're still waiting on the Clayton decision, but ultimately deserves his flowers. From what I was reading about some of these guys and the way that the Gators are continuing to hopefully build out this roster, that they could be a potential top 15 team next year. You know, I know one of the basketball writers, I forgot who, so I apologize, that covers the sport a lot closer than we do, said that, you know, this might even be a two or a three seed in next year's tournament. Obviously, there's a lot. There's an entire offseason, an entire season ahead before that could happen, but it's certainly cool to watch the Gators in the mix for a lot of these top transfers and reeling them into not just a hat on the table or a visit on the schedule. So shout out to Portal God Todd, a friend of the program.
Todd carrying this whole – this whole season, athletic this whole department. Year. Yeah. This area.
Absolutely nuts. So with that being said, let's get into football a little bit. The Gators did announce, or it was announced, that Enoch Wongoy, who is from the 2024 class, he's an offensive tackle commit, has announced that he's going to be joining the program in May. So the Gators are going to get another offensive lineman to join the program this May and this offseason. So, gentlemen, obviously, he's a big dude, 6'7", 317 pounds, if I remember correctly. Getting him in the workout and training facility is great now. Definitely a project, a guy that, you know, probably won't see on the field in a couple years. But the Gators grabbed him. Any thoughts on that reclassification?
How long was this in the works? Was this something we were expecting behind the scenes at all?
Yeah, behind the scenes, even before the spring game, I think it was in the works. it doesn't change for me. I've said for a long time now, Florida needs a receiver, tight end. They get one in a preferred walk-on and interior offensive lineman. This is not an interior offensive lineman and not somebody that will help you in 24, but definitely a player that they wanted. Interesting that they add him, and we'll get into the portal talk. I already see a question about Florida's portal strategy. There are 86 scholarships adding Enoch to the mix. So they're over the scholarship limit, which doesn't matter until the fall or until summer camp. But in terms of adding through the portal, you've got to do math. And right now the math ain't mathing until you get some guys off scholarship.
Yeah. I know Enoch is only played, I believe, one season of football. I think he's playing school in Jacksonville right now. Originally from the UK, was a basketball player, a rugby guy, and got into football here. So there's obviously a lot of learning and development, and maybe they think, you know, if there's an opportunity to do it from a class credit wise and the ability to get him in, that it's better to teach him at the University of Florida than it is for him to be at, no offense to this school, I think it's Zeropath Academy. So there's probably an opportunity to do that. And maybe they determined that was a better course of action. Like you said, Nick, Florida has a math problem right now. We're going to talk about the portal here in a second, but we've had one name enter the transfer portal, Manny Nunnery, and that was at the very beginning. It's been silence since then. The Gators are over the limit. They are hosting players.
Like I said,
they got to see some activity. I mean,
the scholarship number is fake until
it
doesn't matter. And I've had people from Florida being like, don't say that. That's not the case. Like, well, you're over. So like it doesn't matter. It doesn't
matter.
You were over in the spring, so it didn't matter that you had 86 in the spring. And it doesn't matter right now. You just got to figure it out, which means you're going to have some tough conversations, which is probably why they don't want to publicize that they're over, because some people are probably going to be told, like, hey, it's time for you to graduate and time for you to learn FAU.
I do like Enoch's size and athleticism. Mm-hmm. I do think he's a little underrated with his ranking and whatnot, and there's a lot of potential there. But like Nick said, we need people on the inside right now, and that's a 2-year project most likely, right? We need immediate help. You know, we'll see how active they get, because we still got some holes to fill. I know we got some Porter action that we're about to speak on in a little bit, but I like the reclassification, you know, but we don't have an offensive lineman in this class now. We got to get active on the recruiting trail, and we do want to see higher ranked offensive linemen. You know, you getting high profile quarterbacks on campus annually, mm-hmm. you know, like in the mix, you got to start getting those guys the proper hogs in front of them.
Deshaun in the comments, appreciate everybody for commenting that he wanted to reclassify. UF did not make him do it. So let's see here. I think I was talking to a Gator person that I met in Mexico, and we were talking just about where Florida's at right now. And I kind of want to get your thoughts here. So I'm spitballing, so it's a little all over the place. Apologize. We were talking about the idea that we don't know how long Billy Napier theoretically has, right? We know what his contract says. We also don't know what is the termination point if things aren't going well. And the thoughts that he had was that Billy is running and operating this program as if he has multiple mm-hmm. years instead of this year. Could be some assurances, could be just the nature of where the program's at right now. But Florida hasn't really been super active when it's gone after real impact players. Maybe those real impact players aren't interested in Florida. Very possible too, right? But the discussion was interesting. So I want to get your kind of thoughts on that. I think that Enoch could be a great player. Love the fact that he played rugby. Probably has good footwork from playing basketball. You know, 1 year to get a scholarship offer from Syracuse, Auburn, and obviously Florida means that he's doing something right. But I guess that's kind of like a concern that I look at with Florida right now is that are we making the moves to win like this year, or are we just preparing? Because the way that I'm looking at it is we're adding a lot of either future people that are going to transfer out of the program or somebody's going to get a hell of a roster when they take over.
I mean, seven wins this year is a very successful season.
I'd agree. Man. I'd agree. Like, I'm not even – yeah. I don't see any urgency whatsoever in my – like, they either got to really believe in these young boys, because we played a lot of young boys last year, right? Mm-hmm. I know, and we had to get a new strength and conditioning coach, right? But we're banking on – the development and growth of the young boys that we brought in, the Kelby Collins, the TJ Searcy's, the Trey Wilson's, hopefully mm-hmm. Andy Jean and all these guys get in the mix, because we didn't go get aggressive with any of these positions. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just, they're banking on the recruiting class that, you know, the first two that they brought in so far, the young boys.
Yeah. I think I can say with some confidence that I don't think Billy Napier thinks he's coaching for his job.
Don't feel like it. I don't think if anybody thinks that, then they're just like, they're just unaware. But
I mean, I might think that he is, but he does not think that he is. And he would have the conversations with people who
gotta get
are in charge of that.
I think it would have to get real ugly for him to get fired, just from what, because this is business.
And brother, it can't look this schedule, this team, it can go. No doubt.
But knowing that's the schedule for next year too, right?
Yeah,
almost exactly right from the SEC perspective. It's exactly the same, right? Like
lazy scheduling the NCAA or the SEC did.
But it's too much business that has went down. Like whoever is, you know, taking care of Lagway, like there's no way they're gonna fire Billy after 1 year. You never get to see this kid touch the field, and he's been paid a lot of bread,
paid a lot of money.
Right, so from that standpoint, he's got to be safe, bro.
I don't know. Like if he goes 4-8, like I think there's different degrees to it for sure. Like if you come out and you lose to Miami and UCF within the first month of the year, like what are you doing? What are you selling?
If it's not looking like a year that's a job saving caliber of a year, you can't keep Mertz in at the helm.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. I
winning 4 or 5 games or no shit, nothing like that. I don't think you can.
I guess this is what I'm kind of curious about. If it happens where Florida doesn't have a great season, right? Maybe 7 wins, maybe 6 wins, maybe 5 wins. You're now on your 4th consecutive under 500 season. So recruiting so far has been pretty average. I mean, I know it's April, but the class of 2025, there's some people that they're in the mix for, but right now it looks worse than it did at this point last season. If Florida's 4 straight losing seasons, these kids were in 8th grade the last time that Florida won, had a winning season, right? And then if it's not this season, then is it the next season that Billy Napier goes on the hot seat? And what does that look like, right? So Florida finds themselves in a very tough bind right now, right? Because you have the future of a lot of really good, young, talented players, including DJ Lagway. You also have the idea of, like, if this year's not the year, shit, the year after that's probably not going to be, like, all that much easier, right? Like, your players will be more developed. Right. And hopefully they're the starters and they're the guys that you recruit and everything else. But man, I've not had a predicament like this about the Gators in a very long time about, like, you know, how do you even objectively look at this and moving forward at the same time? You're like, it's like you're in purgatory.
Yeah. I think I'm just not sold. I mean, they're sold inside the building. They're sold on the offensive line. I've made it very clear. I'm not, I can be wrong. And if I am, we'll, you know, eat that crow and we'll mm-hmm. say that I was wrong, but the offensive line, I just don't think they got better there. I love the running back room. I think you have one wide receiver that's really going to give opposing defensive coordinators some pause, or one that they have to really look at, which is why I think you need to add another. Defensively, I think they made a lot of changes, and I like the changes they made. I love the secondary changes. I think Florida's secondary got more experienced and more athletic. To me, it's just like, I don't know how much better the team is. The schedule is what it is. I mean, you could start 6-0 and end 6-6. And the problem is we keep getting,
it's like last year,
you keep getting the opposite of Tennessee. Like for so long, Tennessee would start terribly. They had to play Florida and they had to play Alabama, and then Tennessee would win like their last 4 or 5 and they'd enter the offseason with a ton of hype. Florida's lost like their last 11 games in each of the last 2 seasons. Like they're just entering every offseason with this dread and this stench of ending terribly, of like dragging yourself across the finish line in a 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
This is the first time I had nothing to hang my hat on, I would say, as a fan, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, like, even with Muschamp, we were losing. I knew we was going to bring in a dog-ass defense. Like, we're going to lose, but it's going to probably be like 10-6. You know what I'm saying? Like those type of games, we could be able to hang on something. I don't know what we can hang our hat on as a whole unit. Like, there's just nothing. The offense, the defense, the passing game, running game, nothing is really special at all. You know, and that's where I'm at as a fan, and a little confused, because I'm just like, yo, if the offensive line comes back and, like Nick mm-hmm. said, not improved, what do you do? You gotta, like, you can't keep putting a subpar product out there, man. Like, this is the University of Florida, bro.
Yeah.
You cannot keep putting a damn Tecmo Bowl, Lully, Pop Warner, like, outfit out there. You can't keep putting 10 people out on special teams, bro. Like, this is crazy. You're not running a JUCO. This is big boy football, bro. This is not hard things to do. This is very easy things to do. Basics of football. Like, my son's team never sent 10 people out on special teams like the whole season because we counted on the sidelines and sent all the little guys out, you know, make sure they got in their spot, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I think
spring game.
Get it again in the spring game.
Like there'd be signs. Like thank God giving the signs, man. It's like
just moments later on the Josh Pate interview that they sat down. You know, it's an interesting listen. If you've listened to Billy Napier speak more than two times, you might not have learned anything other than Florida considers themselves a great special teams program. Statistically, EPA was a number that he threw out often. Statistically, Florida, from a special teams perspective, was in the top 10 or top 20 in a bunch of different categories. The issues are still, we were sold this idea of organization and everything had its checks and balances internally. And I just don't see a lot of those.
To be fair, they did have 10 guys on the field on special teams, but like the guy you brought in, you split the teams up. So like you're not getting the organizational guy.
Which one was Joe Houston on the team that always had 11?
I don't know.
Whatever team Joe Houston was on, or whatever the team
Chris Johnson was on. You better hope it was the 11 one.
I hope, for the sake of the argument that I'm about to make, that he was the coach of the team that consistently put 11 players out there. Right, but those are the things that you look back, and it's like you have an underperforming offensive line unit. You have an underperforming recruiting practice on the offensive line and in multiple other positions. Just like, hey, we're just going to run it back. And you just – there's a lot of times that you hear that definition of insanity quote. And, like, I think that. And I feel like for the last 6 years between – every coach is hard-headed. But between Dan Mullen and Billy Napier now, it's just like, how does your entire fan base see something and ask questions about why are you trotting out two people at the same number at the same time? Just print out a new roster. That should be something that's done early. Make sure you guys have 11 guys on the field. How many different field goal blocking units does one team have? I thought it was one. I guess it's many, right? The clock management issues, a lot of those things that are organizational and there's checks and balances in, I just don't see any of those, right? So that's why I feel like we're in this like purgatory state, because like if Florida can win 7 games next year, that's freaking awesome. If I would have told a Gator fan 10 years ago to say, hey, maybe 10 years, and maybe not 10 years, 13 years ago, hey, buddy, there's going to be a year in 13 years that winning 7 games is going to bring you like the joy of winning the national
championship. You won't even lie no more, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah.
we stopped lying, bro. Because 10 years ago, we would have still lied. Like, nah, yeah. Bro, SEC championship, 10 wins minimum. You know what I'm saying? We get our lies off, but not no more.
Man, the lies of the game.
I've just rubbed off on you guys.
No, like, Billy.
My negativity is contagious.
We have no identity, man. I don't even know how to lie. I don't know which angle to come from with the lie.
Do I have to start lying? Man.
What's up?
Do I have to start lying?
Please. who the streets have been asking for it, Nick.
The street, I've been on a positive streak for a while.
Yeah, you have.
Always been positive, to be honest with you.
Not really. I think you just
not really
figure out how to hide replies on Twitter now. So it's like,
oh, buddy, buddy, Nature Gator getting all of the hide replies.
One time for Nature Gator, man.
No shot.
Shout out to hiding replies, and then when they complain about the hidden reply, hiding that too.
Hide that one too.
You know, Elon Musk may not be perfect, but that features an incredible ad to Twitter. That's Fragrance Journey, appreciate you.
Gators win and hide and seek all season.
Smash that like button. So let's see here. They did mention the chat. It is on the agenda here today. Justice Ross Simmons, a wide receiver out of Colorado State, is likely going to be visiting the University of Florida this weekend. He is, 6'3", 205 pounds, has heard from 42 programs, Florida State, Miami, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Texas A&M, 71 receptions, 1,148 yards, with 6 touchdowns in 2 seasons. Had 424 yards his freshman year and 724 this past season on 45 receptions. Watching some tape before we started, doesn't seem to be super athletic for like what that means, right? Or super explosive. Seems like just another kind of possession receiver the Gators are in the market for, a wide receiver. Gentlemen, your thoughts on Justice Ross Simmons out of Colorado State?
Not a lot of top end speed. I do like his game, right? I think he runs great routes, separates well. Also, even in like contested throw 50-50 balls, he wins a lot of those. You know, he's a very athletic kid, has great hands, good receiver. You know, sometimes you want the explosive fast guys, but at the same time, you want guys that could just, you know, create separation. Jay Rice ran like a 4.6, but you know, he knew how to set routes up type shit. But
there you go. Silk comparing Justice Ross Simmons to Jerry Rice. We're back to lying. We're back to lying. Silk, come on.
Nephew.
I don't know how y'all took that comparison. No, it's just like slow. Anquan Boldin. Like, he wasn't fast, but he wanted to separate.
I'll take Anquan Boldin, you know?
Yeah, just like, I got to get these people. If I said a name they don't know, they're going to be like, well, who the hell Silk's talking about? You comparing this guy to some guy in his neighborhood.
I think he uses his, well, one, Florida needs to find separation at receiver.
For sure.
And it feels like ever since this receiver coach has been here, no matter what stop it was, that has been something we mentioned. Great blocking. Spent a lot of time practicing blocking. But they couldn't separate an egg.
Justice Ross Simmons, the number one wide receiver on Colorado State for wide receiver blocking. According to PFF.
Coming in. Coming Nick in.
Knows what, Nick knows what Billy Gonzalez wants.
Billy's been drooling. I think he uses his body really well. You were talking about those contested catches. I think he does.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, almost like a power forward or a center in basketball, boxing out. I think he does a really good job using his body. I think there's another guy that I really liked. The guy from Penn State, I heard, wants to compete for a championship, and NIL is important, and I stopped thinking about him.
Over two.
The other one that I think I'm trying to do some actual Big J journalism. Gators,
baby.
I'm trying to do some Big J journalism, but haven't gotten anywhere yet. But a guy that I'm looking into, Elijah Badger from Arizona State, I think he has some good speed, 6 foot 195. Led the Sun Devils forks up, in, I think, receiving yards and receptions, or one of the two, in each of the last 2 years. Interesting player, in the portal. Maybe Ricky can put in a good word.
Yeah, no, that's a good name. Just a couple other things here while you guys were talking. Pulled up a few things. 16.2 yards per catch through two seasons. 438 yards after catch, 9.7 yards per catch, most on Colorado State. So that's good. In 30 of his 45 catches in 2023, he did create yards after catch.
I hope Merck see his film and gets more courageous with throwing 50-50 balls. I think we need to do more of that in our offense. Like, sometimes we either overthrow, but not give these guys the opportunity to jump up and make these type of catches. But, you know.
Yeah. Callie had a comment here. Most of that production was against Group of Five competition. And while true, his team is also Group of Five. So, same offensive line. I mean, just the talent around you is also Group of Five, right? So we'll see there. He's going to visit potentially this weekend. I believe he visited South Carolina, if I remember correctly, last weekend. So there's no limit to when they can transfer, no timeline, but they do have to be in the portal by, I believe, the end of the week. Is that correct, Nick?
Yeah, April 30th.
April 30th. So 8 days left to go there. Nick, do you want to do a quick spot on the Air Force tight end that transferred?
Yeah, it is interesting. If you go back, which I had to do, and I don't like doing this, like if you're a junior and I have to go back to your high school stats, it's not a good sign. But when your high school stats are in your senior year, 57 catches for 766 yards and 12 touchdowns, like, okay, you're athletic. But then you go to Air Force and you run the wing T. So He had 3 receptions for 70 yards and 1 touchdown in 2 seasons playing, but Air Force ran the ball 1,521 times to 192 pass attempts.
That's insane football. Who's watching that nonsense?
So it's like, yes, you can block because that's all you're going to be asked to do, but you did show athleticism at some point. I would advise not going to his Instagram to check out his rap when he committed.
I'm about to check that shit out.
Nope. I might play my song of the week.
No bars. Right? No bars.
I had a very healthy conversation about top 5 rappers down in Mexico.
His with your 5 real quick.
His was not in my top 5, but it could be.
I think it's an interesting prospect. He's a guy who obviously blocks, has done that for 2.5 years at Air Force. Really smart. Graduating Air Force. I didn't know you could graduate one of the service academies, but he graduated.
You mean like graduate early?
Yeah.
I was going to say,
I didn't know you could graduate early from a service academy, but he is going to be doing an MBA or wants to get a master's in like mechanical engineering, which I can't even spell.
Shout out to him.
Smart guy. Walking on. So betting in himself. I think he's a guy who can play in line. I'd be interested to see. I will be very interested to see him, what he looks like running routes. And a guy who I think can play on special teams. Certainly brings the team GPA up.
Let's probably add a caveat that there's probably a less than 50, probably less than 25% chance he sees the field this season. Do you agree?
I would say more than 50.
More than 50. Okay.
He had other offers. Like he chose to come to Florida and walk on at Florida. He had other scholarship offers. He's been in the portal for a while.
What was his other offers?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and find it.
We have some time.
I mean, we need another athletic tight end, you know. So if he can play a little bit, that'd be interesting to follow. But you spoke about Odom and Hayden Hansen comparison and our lack. Have we heard anything about Zip? Is he a guy that could potentially help us out with that 85 roster spot?
I mean, Keon Zipper had surgery, ACL surgery over a year ago. We heard nothing of a setback. And then he didn't do anything in spring. I think he should be graduating. He's been in college since 2019. Maybe just wants to graduate. Again, the portal does close in 8 days as we're talking now on April 30th. But if you graduate, you can transfer. I would look at a guy like Ethan Pouncey, who should be close to graduating. Keon Zipper, who should be close to graduating. They've been in college for 5 years. They're on the Nick Del Torre program. I mean, you're going to have conversations with guys. And you're at a point with some guys where it's like you haven't played or you're probably not going to play, or you just like here to vibe and go to Cantina and Aho, or like do you want to play football at the college level?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good stopping point. Let's give a quick shout out to 2 sponsors back to back here. Home Field Apparel, go visit them. The best shirts that you're going to find with vintage logos for the University of Florida and about 100 different colleges and universities around the United States. You're going to probably find no better product on the market, especially when it comes to that. That style of shirt, the comfort, as well as the design, they really got in their bag with all of the UF designs. They have about 20 of them that you can choose from, including that starter starter-inspired jacket that they have as well. So go check out homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. You will get 15% off of your order. Also, our friends at Alumni Hall, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville, right off the highway. If you're looking for any sort of apparel for men, women, child, grandparents, accessories, coffee mugs, Christmas ornaments, whatever it might be, Alumni Hall has the best selection of Florida Gator memorabilia in Gainesville as well as online. So go check out alumnihall.com. Let them know your friends at Stadium and Gale sent you. All right, gentlemen. With that being said, we've named one person that has scheduled a visit to University of Florida. Are you guys nervous about the lack of the other activity? I know that there's things that move in silence. Not everything gets pushed out to the media, especially from a transfer perspective. It's usually not the same recruitment that you're going to see out on social media. But are you guys concerned at all mentioning the needs that we've talked about before?
Well, Napier said this to us. We spoke to him a week ago before his Gator Caravan in Gainesville. We asked him about the portal being a little quiet. He said, I think we've learned it's a smaller marketplace, less good players, more calculated. To be quite honest, nothing surprised me anymore. I think we just show up and we're hopeful that we can retain all of our good players. And if presented with an opportunity to add a good player, we think we can help our team. We'll decide if we want to pursue him. But he has said privately to me, I just couldn't like say it before, but now he has publicly said it, that they, in their opinion, the market for quality players in the spring is just not there. Mm-hmm. And that was a conversation I had with him last year before a spring speaking tour. And he was like, we just don't think there's good players. And I was sitting here being like, yo, you need to add players in the spring. Your team's not good enough. You need to add guys who can come in and compete. And they just didn't view the spring portal as deep or as even high end quality to help them. So yeah, while I think they share, or I share the same position needs that they believe as well, they're not going to just go and sign somebody because they play the position that they think they need help with.
Yeah, you almost got a tamper in the spring. I do agree that the quality is down, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the guys that got passed up on depth charts, you know, and they're going to somewhere they can compete for a spot. You just got to be tampering. That's just where it's at. So when that portal open and we don't get immediate activity or buzz, like, I'm deflated right then, because mm-hmm. I think the real moves in the transfer portal, the big ones, it'd be pre-made, man. Like, that can't mm-hmm. be baked already.
Yeah. I think if that's the philosophy, right, and you try to get one or two, then you've got to figure out a more aggressive process for the fall transfer portal, right? The one that happens right after season, winter, whatever we want to call it. If you still have some needs, and you aren't going to do it in the spring, then you need to be more aggressive in the fall. And Florida had glaring needs. Florida was 5-7. Sorry, they were 5-7, 6-7 the year before. You can have a lot of good, talented players, especially ones that are upcoming. Give them the opportunity. You have a lot of glaring holes, and I don't know if there was any. It wasn't a ton of movement in the biggest areas of concern that the Gators had last season, in my opinion.
Eric, football's got money to spend. Football's got money to spend. The University Athletic Association is pouring more resources than I've ever seen into football. There mm-hmm. is no excuse, and Billy Napier will tell you this, there is no excuse that, you know, quote, we didn't have – the funding or the backing that was necessary. They you cannot make that excuse.
Right. I think the funding is in the wrong spot, though. It could be in the wrong place, because player acquisition is where the money need to be.
They've got money to spend. They're spending it on the current roster as well.
Yeah, I think
it's prepared the way. I mean, technically they're spending money, but like when we get into the portal head on head with some of these guys, bro, like, it's obvious who's spending more money. Miami is not in a better shape than us, like, as a program. But mm-hmm. they have a different reputation out there with spending money in the NIL, and they get real aggressive. We're not aggressive like that NIL-wise in the portal.
They have lost a ton of players, Miami has. So
yeah, and that's – yeah, they weeding out the, like, the kid that left, Jaden – mm-hmm. backup. You know, you can't pay everybody. So that's just mm-hmm. the name of the game. That's just roster management, bro.
You're under investigation by the SEC.
yeah, that too.
mm. I mean, can't wait for Dan's class action lawsuit.
We called it years ago, nearly 2 years ago. Yeah. And boy, did I take it on the chin on the internet. And awesome. Who is laughing now? Not me, because I feel bad for the people that got schemed out of money, but.
You got out.
Okay, I took you off.
No, you're good, bro. Get your vent a little bit, man. Yeah, I'm exhausted anyway. Yeah. This is like my bedtime right here now.
Bro. Yeah. We're gonna wrap up.
We're not rushing. We got to talk some money, man. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about him in a second. But I do want to get your thoughts. Finish your thought there. Your thought is that Florida doesn't have the reputation around the country of being able to go and attract players. Yeah, I think that they're retaining players, right?
Well, Tawan gets shots off in the comments section.
Yeah, Tawan is ready.
My guys, like Kobe during the Kobe versus the Raptors. We're getting 81. Yeah.
Out of full screen to see it.
So your thoughts. Florida probably doesn't have that reputation. Obviously, they've had some things go awry. I think the Jaden Rashada situation was the most notable NIL case that we've had in the nearly 4 years that NIL has been around, or almost the end of the third year of NIL. Is that an accurate assumption in your guys' opinion?
I mean, the dudes that enter, we know the guys that enter the transfer portal with like big tickets on them. How many of those battles are we getting into?
None. We're not even a hat on the table for a lot of the big. And I would be remiss to say that a lot of those guys get tampered out and they know where they're going.
Back to my original point.
but I would say that Florida for the big transfer portal guys is not involved.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State whole run was set up by portal guys. Big the Keon Coleman's guys, they were asking for big checks. And they went and spent money, Fisk, all those guys that came out in the portal that had big tags on them, you know, the big dogs was going after them. They had a good season based around all those guys they grabbed in the portal. Now it's deflated again. They got their spring game was ugly, was an ugly mess. But just, you know, an example. We haven't been going after those type of guys. While we've landed some good ones, we just haven't been in the market for the bona fide stars that are entering it.
And that's why I think the question remains of like there's probably not a huge hot seat under the Napier administration, if you will. So like, is it win now or is it just build for the future? I think everything we're doing now is just hopefully building for the future.
Yeah, win now in every sport in the world. Like this is where we're at 2024 is win now. Building things.
Yeah. Done work. I mean,
if it looks like it's building and going up, then yeah, but it don't look like it's getting built. We still can't get 11 people on the field. So.
I want to point out this comment, Nathaniel Rogers. This is something that gets talked about a lot, so I want to bring it up. It says Florida academic standards are scaring off the really good players. I want to definitively say that is like that's inaccurate. The standards to get into Florida as an athlete are very, 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 very similar, if not equal, to almost all of the other schools. You can take a few out. And I think you could probably use your brain and kind of figure out when you see a five-star going somewhere. But it is very, very similar to get into Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, Miami, USC, Texas. All of these schools have about the same admission requirements and the sliding scale. Say what?
Not Marshall.
Not Marshall, West Virginia, right? So
you get Marshall with a GED.
No offense, either one. But I do want to say that the academic standards and where UF's going as a university and where you're seeing SAT scores now and where you're seeing GPAs at, Florida is not making it substantially harder than its peer schools to get in as an athlete. I know that because I worked in the football recruiting office for 4 years. So with that being said, I think
Daniel.
Well, no, I mean, I just, It's not so much a flex as it's like, I know we talk about it a lot, and I know that that's like,
yeah, let me know your resume a little bit, though. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The high academic standards might affect the student population at noon kickoffs more than it's affecting the product on the field for a noon kickoff.
Yeah. Not saying that Florida standards aren't maybe slightly higher, but we're talking a modicum that Florida has not had a problem getting in the players that they want to get into the university.
Listen, baby, they would have got Cormani McClain in, and Cormani almost didn't graduate from Lakeland.
Incredible segue, Nick. In the most unsurprising news ever, maybe, other than the Ruiz news, is Cormani McClain has announced that he's going to transfer from University of Colorado. Everybody thought he was going to the University of Florida. Announced that he's going to Miami. Pulled a last second. I'm not going to sign today. Asked Alabama for a bunch of money. They said no. Signs with University of Colorado over, I think it was on Friday, announced that he's going to be transferring. And then over the weekend, apparently, over Twitter, he said that they're doing everything for clicks and he wants to go somewhere not for clicks. So
he's going for gentlemen. He's looking for a bag in the nicest way possible. He has a lot of growing up to do off the field. He's a great player on the field. Has a lot of maturing to do. And listen, go get your bag. That's where we're at. Go get your bag. Click. Those clicks aren't paying like some schools were, but I think the reputation he has in football circles is going to make his possible destinations a little bit smaller. I think there's a reason why UCF and USF keep coming up.
And I think USF, UCF, and Memphis. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nasty. That's nasty work.
Yeah.
He could thrive. I think he could thrive at like UCF and whatnot. You know, it could do him some good, bro. You step it back down a level, you still can make your money NIL and all that, but there's a maturity.
He's back with his boys there. He's from Orlando.
Yeah.
Back with that same crowd you were running with.
Yeah,
he's gonna have that problem with anywhere he went in Florida. He just got to grow up, period, right? And this the time you only get so many opportunities, and in life, you see your opportunities get smaller when you start making mistakes, right? Before, every school in the country wanted you, no matter what your attitude was like, how immature you was. But now, three schools, that's UCF, you know, USF, and Memphis. You're talking about the number one recruit in the country. So your opportunities, your next opportunities is going to be almost nothing, you know? So that's just how life works, man. So he's got to mature. I also think, man, like, it just be too many grown people, like, sitting there on the edge of their seat waiting for things to go wrong and then go, you know, have a ton of opinions, you know, ridiculing these kids. Like, he's still a young man. Like, he's still very young. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys at 19, 20 years old was late to work a lot, you know, like got fired from jobs for being immature, hanging out at clubs and not, you know, being, you know, responsible with your responsibilities and whatnot. It happens when you're young. He has time to fix that. He's not getting arrested. He's not, you know, testing positive for drugs or anything like that. He's not flunking out. He missed some meetings. Him and Deion obviously got some stuff going on out there in Colorado. Like, it ain't just him leaving. Like, a lot of people are booking it. The vibe in the air that this is probably prime last year with his sons. Like, it's a lot of drama out there. He joined drama, but yo, he got an opportunity to fix some things and correct some things, man. But that's gotta be self. Nobody can't do it for him. You feel me?
No, you can't make those changes until you want to make them. You're not going to be able to make sustainable changes if you're doing it for someone else. You've got to realize, like an alcoholic. An alcoholic could quit drinking over and over because his family wants him to. Until that person wants to make that change in their life, you're going to keep falling back and have to slip up. So listen, like you said, he's 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. You still have an opportunity, right? Like, you don't 100%. Ever wish bad on a kid, right? You want him to see this as an opportunity to learn. He still has three good Division I offers, right? Like, it's not Alabama, Miami, Florida. I mean, Florida. But like,
I don't see Florida retreading there.
Yeah. You know, but USF, like, they're building a program right now. They've got a great quarterback. They've got a coach that's highly, like, going to be sought after, I think, in a couple years, maybe next year. Who knows? Maybe the next University of Florida coach. They're building an on-campus stadium. UCF is now, you know, in the Big 12. Memphis has had some success. They're in it for Antoine Hill, right? They just signed a deal with FedEx for $25 million for NIL. So don't be surprised to see Memphis's name start to pop up.
You gotta get that bag, man.
Yeah. So like, he still has an opportunity.
It's crazy.
And a lot of people don't realize what they've, like, what it's like to lose something until it's lost.
Yep.
Right. And then that, for a lot of folks, that's, you know, then an opportunity for maturity. So certainly wish him the best. Anthony Beck, appreciate your super chat. It's an opportunity for him to grow as a person. Hope he succeeds. We all do. That's what we want.
Up there, real quick, Tawan, the ESPN money does not a single penny goes to NIL. The universities cannot add money to NIL until there is a rule change, which we might be heading that way, like a revenue sharing. They want to steer clear of making student athletes employees. I find it funny. Being like, these guys are going to be fired if they're employees. But none of that money can go towards NIL.
Back to Cromartie too. Another lesson too. Don't burn bridges. Like, he burned a lot of bridges. And that's why, like, the Florida, the Miamis and Florida States, a lot of programs didn't reach out because of the way he played the game. He burned bridges. So, lessons.
Want to mention this last topic of conversation here. I'm not sure if you guys read this, but the NCAA Division I board approved legislation to allow instant eligibility for multi-time transfers. Nick, do you know much about this? Would a student athlete be able to transfer mid-season?
I don't know that you'd be able to transfer mid-season. You would, but I don't know that you'd be able to play right away either. This happened because a player took the NCAA to court.
Raekwon Battle from West Virginia.
Who was going to transfer again, and they were going to make him sit out. And there was an injunction filed, which just like that's just one judge being like, hey, yeah, I think this guy's right. Like, it didn't even really go to court. And the NCAA just said, ha, that's another one. We lost, you know, kind of like with NIL when they went to Congress, and Congress was like, we're going to look into your tax exemption. And they were like, you know what? Forget we were ever here. Don't mind us. Cormani could land at UCF, have a good year, and hit the portal and go to USC his junior year. Like, you can do whatever you want as a college football player right now. I don't even know that that's been asked. Or at least that I haven't seen or heard or read, transferring midseason.
I know academically it might be hard, but we're moving further and further away from the academic part of this.
Yeah, I don't know how you would get in and be taking classes, but yeah, I mean, who knows? Things have changed so quickly in such a short period of time that who knows, you know, this time next year it could be you don't need to be a full-time student to participate in a sport that semester.
JP highlighted a little moment there. Silk said you can get into Marshall at GED. And no offense to anybody. We have fans, people that listen to the show that went all everywhere. Marshall, West Virginia, wherever we named, great academic institutions that have created some fine scholars and professionals.
Norman's a fighting herd right now.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well.
All right. Let's wrap up. Any other topics, comments of conversation? Everybody that's listening, make sure you hit the like button. Helps the algos.
Let's see. Since the last time, I'm trying to see. There, we had the Hall of Fame. I'm pulling up the names here, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
The 2024 UF Athletic Hall of Fame inductees. Chaz Henry, football, played 2007 through 2010. Scotty Wilbekin. men's basketball 2011 through 14. Elizabeth Beisel, you know, Dan?
No.
Women's swimmer from 2010 to 14.
I remember her name. She won a lot.
Yes, won a lot. Obviously. Marcin Sizliak, men's swimming 11 to 14. Francesca Anaya, softball 07 through 10.
And a current assistant coach on the women's softball team.
Yep. Genevieve Lacaz, women's track and field 08 through 12. Hannah Rogers, legend for softball from 11 to 14. Preston Tucker, baseball 2009 through 12. Honorary letter winner is Becky Burley, who started the women's soccer program, had 22 NCAA championship berths, won the 1998 NCAA title, 14 SEC titles. She will go in as well. And congratulations. Yep. And congratulations to Jack Caglione, tied the NCAA record, hitting 9 home runs in 9 consecutive games. Also, brutal scene, bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth, he comes up with the home run record on the line and gets the intentional walk. So coward of a chance. Four was up. I think 4-2 or 6-2 at the time. I was at the wedding.
It's a cowardly move.
Shout out to Vanderbilt. They took the series. Florida baseball bubble team.
Bubble team projection tournament. A number 3 seed in the Chapel Hill tournament was
unless they go streaking through the quad into the gymnasium through Hoover, then they will be a bubble team all the way through. It's funny because I always tell people, like, Hoover doesn't matter. Florida, by way of this losing streak, will go to Hoover, Alabama, and have to win a play-in game to get to the double elimination, and they will need to win several games in Hoover, I think, to secure their place in the NCAA tournament. So the SC tournament doesn't matter unless you're a team that has a record like Florida that needs to win a couple games in the SC tournament in order to just make the tournament. Last year, Florida could have gone 0-2 and they would have been a host. But this year, they will need to win some games in beautiful Hoover, Alabama.
Todd is carrying.
Shout out to Todd.
Todd is carrying right now, man.
Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Jack. I saw Ben Chase sent me Dick's Sporting Goods here in Gainesville selling Jack Caglione baseball jerseys. Hope he is getting.
I need to get one of them joints. Baseball jerseys go hard. I need to get one of them joints, man.
Would you get the white Florida script? They've got a black jersey as well.
They won't go white script.
You could be a gray pinstripe kind of guy. The away jersey.
No, I'll take the white one.
The white Florida script.
Yeah, I got like shoes in mine and all that type of shit, man. Okay. Like, I think I'm gonna wear it to the football game. Miami tailgate. Yeah, I'm gonna do something like that. Go off.
Jack has done well against Miami. Owns them on the mound, that's for sure.
All right, Jack is up in the pros.
I don't think he will be a pitcher in the major leagues, but what he has done this year at the plate, he is not – they're pitching around him, and he has more walks than strikeouts, more home runs than strikeouts. He's hitting over 400. He has turned himself into an all-SEC defensive first baseman. I think teams will look at him and say, like, that's Matt Carpenter. That's a fringe gold glove first baseman who's going to hit 35-plus home runs for us every year. And he might hit high 200s. This year, too, going the other way with the ball. Teams are still shifting him. But I'm watching him drive baseball. I think he has 8 home runs to left field. So he's hitting the ball the other way. He is just super impressive year at the plate, especially when you consider every team, their scouting report starts with Jack Caglione and how to pitch to him. And he's just making even pitches that aren't mistakes, making people pay for him. So yeah, I don't know that he will. He will go pitch and hit as long as someone will let him. But I think his future is at the plate, and especially the way he's developed his patience at the plate and his glove.
Nice.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, gentlemen, let's get out of here today. Appreciate everybody that watched. Make sure before you do that, you hit the like and subscribe button. If you're a sponsor looking to get on the show, we'd love to chat with you as well. With all of that being said, I believe the song of the week is mine.
Last one.
Say what?
It's probably going to be, I bet Dan listened to Torture Poets Society the whole way back.
No, no, didn't. Did not listen to that. Nick
Dan hates the Swifties. Okay.
I don't. Just not my type of music. I appreciate anyone that can constantly throw shade. Just not really for me. The last song was "Good Day" by Jake Scott. So I'm gonna go with the Zac Brown Band. They had a new song called "Pirates and Parrots," which is a little ode to Jimmy Buffett. That just came out.
One time for Jimmy Buffett, man.
One Rest time for peace. Jimmy Buffett. My parents were big Jimmy Buffett fans, not parrot heads per se, but they definitely were big fans of Jimmy Buffett. So we'll do that one. It's an enjoyable song. I think everybody will like it. So with that being said, we will see you at the same corner, same time next week. And go Gage.
Another dollar on the wall, another poet with a pen, another beach bum with a dog, another stranger sailing in, and the water's just as blue. No, you haven't missed a thing, but we're all here missing you. All the pirates and the parrots sing. So adios, my friend, anchor where that ocean is. We'll pick up where you left off, strumming on a sailor's song. We'll hold down this salty rock, where it's always 5 o'clock. When the sun goes down, we raise our drinks. All the pirates and the parrots sing. Raise the bridge, the drifter's coming through. There's a golden stretch of beach that's waiting there on you. Is the water just as blue? We wanna hear about everything, but we're all here missing you. So all the pirates and the parrots sing. Adios, my friend, anchor where that ocean ends. We'll pick up where you left off, strumming on a sailor's song. We'll hold down this salty rock, where it's always 5 o'clock. When the sun goes down, we raise our drinks. All the pirates and the parrots sing. patio's my friend.